something happening here. But what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. We better stop.
Welcome to the Situation Report slash Roundtable slash whatever the hell Rumble decides to call this thing today. It's a miraculously changed title while I was trying to get it set up. And of course, it's definitely a Situation Report slash Roundtable day because none of the tech works today. So I'm a few minutes late because I couldn't get the mic to work. Can't get my camera to work. Couldn't get the music to play. Yeah, just another day on Rumble. So, interesting day. So, I don't know if you noticed it or not yet, but there's definitely a profile that the FBI is using for all these shooters. The last three shooters all had handlers, all had communication with the FBI. All had the same kind of social media. And this guy's no different. His first follower, and thanks to can't think of Ian's last name on Twitter, Ian Carroll, I think it is. He pulled the guy's social media. His first follower, CIA. Are you starting to see the pattern now? They pick the same type of profile, they activate the same type of profile. And they execute some kind of an event. In this case, the Secret Service actually did their job, which is quite amazing, considering that, you know, in Pennsylvania, they were, you know, flat on their ass. It's just been interesting the whole weekend as things develop. But usually, you know, I say wait 48 hours, right? So tomorrow will be 48 hours and we'll see what else comes out. Because typically by the 48-hour point, you're starting to see more of the story solidify around the regime being behind whatever is out front. And what's interesting about the shooter yesterday is this guy literally hung his plate carrier on a fence. Like, why would you do that? If you're wearing a plate carrier, you're wearing a plate carrier. You're typically going to hide behind some cover and concealment, and you're going to get in a good position. Obviously, this guy knew nothing about firearms. He definitely knew nothing about tactics. I mean, this reminds me and screams Ukrainian recruiting video, because this guy was supposedly recruiting Ukrainian, you know, people to go fight in Ukraine. Good luck with that. If this freak show showed up, I wouldn't even pay attention to him, let alone go drop everything and go fight for Ukraine. I mean, go die in Ukraine on some shithole battlefield in the middle of nowhere. But evidently, this is what he was doing. He was out there actively recruiting, taking one for the team. Just like the shooter in Pennsylvania. And I'd be curious to see if there's some Discord conversations with this guy too. There's definitively going to be something else that comes out about him that is not just incriminating to the FBI, but it's incriminating to the individual. This stuff happens and I get spammed. And what's funny about it is that I'm watching Twitter over the weekend. I'm watching some of the other things that are popping up over the weekend. And I was literally right in the middle of a biennial flight review when this popped up. And it's too funny how some of this stuff shows up. Like literally, you know, flight instructor I was working with is like, yeah, somebody just tried to shoot at Trump. That was the first report, right? You're like, okay, well, let's see how this develops. But look, this is not the last time they're going to try and take out Trump. This is definitely not the last time that they're going to they're definitely not going to stop trying to take him out. They want to take him off the board. They want to kill the MAGA movement. This isn't about Trump. This is about the MAGA movement. This is about the whole idea of what Trump represents, America first. They need to kill that, and they need to demoralize the population. And while they're doing it, they need to dehumanize Trump in order for the public to accept somebody smoking him. That's why all this rhetoric in the news, especially in the mainstream, and the first one that brought it to my attention, because I wasn't paying attention to mainstream media, was Jack Donna, sent over a news story that basically was, yep, they missed. Too bad. Maybe next time. They're trying to, this literally communist tactic 101, right? You dehumanize the target you're going after, and then it's okay for somebody to step in and be a vigilante. That's exactly what they're setting up. And they're not going to stop, no matter, you know, how much public outrage there is. And, you know, I've said for a long time, somebody will go off the reservation. This guy didn't go off the reservation. This guy was pushed off the reservation by a handler. And obviously it wasn't planned out or well thought through. Because at the end of the day, this guy clearly didn't know what to do with his plate carrier. I mean, that in and of itself is a big deal. The whole idea of wearing sappy plates is to protect your vital organs. You're not going to be able to shoot behind it. It's not a barrier. And if it gets hit by a bullet while you're behind it, it's going to send it right into your face. At the same time, your face can't send bullets, but it can take them. So good on the Secret Service for actually shooting at this guy. And, you know, he dropped his weapon and ran away. But my initial thought was this guy must be French, but turns out he wasn't. Turns out he's just a left-wing nut and a Ukraine nut that's been groomed to do this. And that's somewhat facetious, but the reality is that's what he's doing. And I find it very interesting that the press is talking about it now in the terms of, well, Trump deserved it. Really? That's the best they got. But here's what it really highlights. The whole affair, especially the first Trump assassination attempt, it highlights how completely owned our political class is and how completely owned the media is. And the quote of the day, which I think is very appropriate for today, especially given the circumstances in which this occurred, somebody gave up Trump's schedule. Somebody gave up Trump's whereabouts. Somebody close to him in his inner circle, and the The rumor is somebody in the inner circle told DHS, DHS pushed it out to whoever. I don't buy that for a second. Because if there's one thing I know about POTUS moving around, is that the Secret Service is very tight-lipped around where their protectees are. They don't screw around with that. And again, you know, what's funny is that I was having this conversation earlier with one of my admins, and he said, you know, we no longer have public servants, but rather private servants in public office. I think that is absolutely true. That's the best thing I've heard all day. Best line I've heard all day. What an accurate description. And you know, I have to be thankful today because I'm surrounded by very smart people, and it's very, very motivating to have a conversation with somebody that not only sees the landscape a little bit different, but they're able to articulate it in a way that can resonate with a lot of different people. And I think that's exactly our situation. We have private servants to oligarchs that are in public office, and elections are merely a checkbox now. They're just to placate the public. They're not actually to vote anybody into office. Whoever is voted into office has been selected beforehand. And there's the last two elections are replete with people that were never appointed by the people. Mark Kelly, Juan Sisimani, Joe Biden, and the list goes on and on and on. Almost every public servant selected in 2020 and 2022 was selected by oligarchs. And the vote was a formality. And now they're showing and taking the gloves off to show you that they really don't care if you know or don't know that the election process is completely compromised, which it's completely compromised. It's ridiculous. And I'm looking at some of these politicians that are retiring, like in Washington State, Jay Inslee's one of them. This guy's been in office for 8 years, and he has done nothing but destroy the Constitution of Washington and the state of Washington, along with all the, you know, retarded liberals in Washington State that are, they've completely decimated the city of Seattle. I mean, the place, Seattle used to be a pretty safe place to live. It used to be a, you know, pretty moderate place to live. And more importantly, you used to be able to go from one part of the city to another in about an hour, hour and 15. Now you can't get anywhere in that city in under 2 hours because of the traffic. And, you know, they spent all this money on light rail, and it's just a grift. The whole thing is a complete grift. And that douchebag is right at the helm. And the worst part about him is his daughter works for the Gates Foundation. So you know who's pulling his strings. And the whole COVID thing, if you just go back and watch some of his early briefings, he's got these color charts, and he's talking about data and science. Data and science. I can't wait to escort this motherfucker to Gitmo. I am looking forward to it. And I may let Rin Tin Tin chew on his ass a little bit before he gets in the helicopter. We almost got him there. Get him, Fido! God, hate that son of a bitch. With the flaming hot passion. Or as Troop would say, a guy voted most likely for low descent helicopter therapy. Man, guy gets under my skin. I was watching him sign executive orders today. I'm like, you are such a douchebag. But that represents every single public servant in office right now. I challenge you to give me one public servant that legitimately has not been compromised by the system in some way, shape, or form. And I don't mean totally, just in some way. Because when they make it to DC or they make it to public office, especially in a blue state, they change color. They transition into this reptilian that you can't even identify with. Like, who the hell are you? Yeah, Mike Johnson. Yeah, he's gay. Gay. God, I've never seen a guy more gay in my life. And everybody's like, he's such a good Christian. I'll bet he is. On his knees praying to Allah every night. God. Ron Paul, you can make the you know, you could make the Paul family, you can make the case that they're both not compromised. But no, Thomas Massie, how long's Thomas Massie been in? How long's he been in office? And in all that time, he never voted against, you know, voted against something or voted for something that screwed over the American people. I mean, look, let's call a spade a spade. The point of the exercise is we should never have bills on the table that are more than 10 pages long. A bill that's 2,500 pages long that incorporates pretty much everything, including the kitchen sink, and they all vote for it. Guess what? Compromised. Anybody who votes for that, compromised. And they all voted for it. You know, I think the quintessential cuck in Congress is Ted Cruz. That guy straddled the fence so much. I think he just lost a pair. The guy just, oh my God. He's the most disgusting. I mean, other than Lindsey Graham, he's the most disgusting form of rhino that's in public office right now. He couldn't decide a position if it was jammed up his ass with a red hot poker. That's how bad that guy is. But that represents most of Congress right now. And the reason why I'm talking about it is that all of these people are compromised in some way, shape, or form. There's no part of the system anymore that isn't compromised in some way, shape, or form. And how many dual citizens do we have? Why is that still a thing? Why is it that you can be a citizen of Israel or a citizen of Canada and be a senator, and that's completely okay, when it clearly that's a conflict of interest? And most importantly, it's a conflict of interest that should never be tolerated or accepted. But yeah, here we are. And how many of them are out there toting the line for Israel? Massive conflict of interest. So they're privately owned in public office. That's legitimately what they are. And the unfortunate part of it is that half of the country is still completely blissfully unaware of that. And they don't care. I mean, yesterday was the perfect example. Football season starts, everybody goes right back to white, sitting right in front of the TV and soaking up all of that propaganda. And have you watched any of the political ads now? Man, they are full tilt going after Trump's a Nazi, Trump's going to destroy the Constitution, Trump's going to destroy our way of life. He's going to give tax cuts to the rich, which is probably true. He probably will. And who's on his staff? J.D. Vance, owned by Peter Thiel. Elon Musk. And that's, what was it, Department of, again, it's dope, something like that. Doge. Department of Government Efficiency is what it is. And somebody explained to me why we need another oligarch in a position of power inside of the federal government that's heavily funded by the federal government. And by the way, this same guy owns the biggest satellite network, you know, that covers the entire globe. Somebody explain to me why he needs to be in the Department of Government Efficiency. Yeah, there's no conflict of interest there. The whole thing is just it's a complete clown show. And they are, so I'm seeing more and more messaging about technology now and technology breakthroughs. And at the same time, I'm seeing more and more stuff about aliens. And I'm not kidding you. The alien narrative is coming out full tilt. And I was talking to Tommy Kerrigan today, and he did a show with who did he do the show with? What was the guy's name? Yeah, he did a show with L.A. Marzulli, who's done a bunch of books on disclosure. And what I find very interesting about a lot of these, first of all, I like Tommy a lot. So, you know, for him to for him to do the interview and go full tilt, I'm like, wow, okay, he's all in. But the funny thing about it is, at the same time, all of this, you know, rhetoric about Trump is going on. You're seeing all this rhetoric about breakthroughs in science, and you're seeing a number of stories about UFO sightings across the planet. And the narratives always crack me up because, well, two things. The first one is, anytime the regime gets in trouble or they need a distraction or there's some bad press about, you know, somebody on the left, they bring out the aliens or they bring out the UFOs. And now we're starting to see this ramp up in alternative media about it, which is very, very interesting for a lot of reasons. And I think that it's interesting that narrative is being pushed not only in the mainstream, but it's being picked up in the alternative media. And look, I think most of it's a bunch of BS, right? Because you always see these videos of stuff that's way out there. It's not close by, and you know, there's no little gray men running around. It's just this, you know, bright light that's way the fuck up there, and you can't see it. Like, okay, great. But I seem to think that most of it is our own tech that we figured out a long time ago, and we're just now starting to roll it out. And look, maybe some of it's ours, maybe some of it's not ours, but I just think it's interesting that it's all being rolled out right now. And it goes along the line with what I was saying before, is when you flood the system with complete sewage and garbage, there's no source of truth anywhere. And even if you wanted to believe in any of it, there's so much garbage in the system. And the whole point is to throw off your sense of balance and to throw off the fact that there's no source of truth. And I can't help but think that that's what's going on with all this alien stuff that suddenly and miraculously shows up when, and it usually shows up every time Harris tries to say something, because first of all, she can't, you know, finish a sentence to save her life. And at the same time, anytime she goes in front of a camera, she sounds like a cackling fool. So I understand why they're rolling it out. What I don't understand is why they're rolling it out right now when they have complete control of the media. Why would you throw that out there when you have pretty much 100% control of the mainstream that still has a lot of reach? And I can tell you why that is. Because they're not convinced that it's a slam dunk. So they need to distract as many people as possible. And look, here's the game plan. The game plan with all of this is very simple. They want to disenfranchise as many people that want to put America first as possible. They want to saturate you with garbage so you don't know what to believe. And then they want to hit you with all of this ambiguous messaging so you stay home and you don't vote. They don't want you to go vote in November. And it should tell you that they don't even trust their base on the left, because they never did a primary to vote in Harris. They didn't trust their base. They still don't trust their base. What does that tell you? It tells you that they don't even believe that they've been able to sell her. And look, I said this after the debate. No one is going to change their vote. No one. Anybody who's decided to vote in the election is going to vote the way that they were going to vote before the debate. That debate changed nothing. It's just noise. And it was confirmation of the same thing we already knew. We knew this back in 2016. The press is completely controlled by the left. Completely. Or the DNC, or the elite, or the liberal elite, whichever way you want to call it. The uniparty controls the elite, or vice versa, or whatever you want to call it, right? The uniparty controls the press. And the fact that Paul Ryan sits on the board of Fox News should tell you it's a uniparty. And however you want to describe it, they do not want Trump in office. And it's not because They're scared of what Trump's going to do. It's very simple. They're scared of what you're going to do. They're scared of being the American public being emboldened to go after them because they know it's coming. And they know that once this kicks off, there won't be a place for them on this planet to hide. And at the end of the day, there shouldn't be. No deals, no backroom dope deals, none of that. At the end of the day, nope, they all go to prison. And they all go to prison for treason. And that's the way it should be. And they know it. And they're openly talking about it. They're openly saying that if Trump comes to power again, we're all going to prison for treason. Yes, you are. Every goddamn one of you. You're going to go live the dream in prison. You're going to toss salads. You're going to be somebody's bitch. And you're not going to have one dime to your name. You know why? Because it's going to be confiscated and it's going to be given to the Treasury and it's going to be used to pay off the debt from all the shit you've stolen from the American people. So you might as well jump on board for the big win, line your pockets with wrenches, and walk out in the ocean and take one for the team before it happens. Because I can tell you that when this happens, if you allow this election to go through, most of the American people will show up and vote. I don't care how many illegals you bust in here. I don't care how many votes you think you're going to have. Will you go over 100% threshold in any county? Civil war. And I say that because I've listened to the American people and they are fed up. They are done with the malfeasance. And most importantly, you know what else they're done with? They're done with politicians that don't give a shit about their constituents. And there's going to be a heavy price to pay for all of that. And the best part of it is none of you will see it coming. And it will be somebody that just snaps. And I can't wait to watch it. Because I'm going to sit back with some popcorn and I'm going to watch it happen and I'm going to enjoy the shit out of it. Especially, and that's for all of you Arizona politicians that have your head so far up your ass. You don't know where your donors leave off and you begin. God. But that's what they're worried about. That's why they can't allow an election to happen. That's why I say it's never going to happen. Because they set conditions in 2022 for this to happen. And they didn't realize it until this year. They honestly underestimated the animus and the anger that the American people are holding right now. I mean, you can just feel the visceral anger that people are holding right now. I mean, the cost of living's gone way up. They watch all these fucking politicians running around, running their mouths. They clearly don't care about their own constituents. They haven't done anything for the American people in 40 years. And now they're sitting there trying to tell us that inflation isn't bad and things are getting better. Everybody can see it. Just because you artificially lower the prices at the pump doesn't account for the fact that food prices have gone up 245% just in the last 2 months. Yeah, nobody's paying attention. Right. I guarantee you people are paying attention to that. And the good thing in all of this is that the American people are paying attention to food price and they are uncomfortable. And the more uncomfortable they get and the more lies that the politicians tell, the more anger builds, the more resentment builds. And the snowflakes that are the uninformed liberals, guess what? They are in for a rude awakening, a very rude awakening. And what's funny is I was talking to my oldest today and the very first question, Dad, what do you think of the assassination attempt? He said, I think it fits a profile. I think the last three shooters have all fit a profile. Yep, that's exactly what I thought. I didn't believe you the first time you said it, but I looked at the social media of this other guy and the social media of the new guy, and they're almost identical in the same rhetoric. I thought you were making it up, Dad. I go, I know, I'm crazy till I'm not. And that's just how it goes. You're crazy until you're not. And guess what? I don't mind being crazy. because when I'm looking at this stuff, I can tell you the first thing I said on Sunday is this is not going to be the last time. They are going to make another attempt at Trump. And this is my warning to Trump. If your people are listening, then you should hear him burn this into your fucking brains. Hire private security that you trust. Vet them mercilessly and put them on the peripherals and filter every single public appearance like you are going to a foreign country with no air cover. Otherwise, they might just be successful. And I can tell you, if they're successful, civil war. That moment, people will come unhinged. They've made Trump a messiah. What happens when you kill the messiah? He becomes a martyr. What happens when he becomes a martyr? People lose their collective minds. And they don't care. The elite, they do not care. They are more worried about you being rallied and being emboldened than they are about him. They are more concerned about destroying any kind of America first and getting you to accept and condone a communist state more than they are afraid of a civil war. In fact, they want a civil war. And I'm sitting listening to the rhetoric around long-range weapons being authorized for use in Ukraine. First of all, if they allow that to happen and calmer heads don't prevail and long-range missiles are used in Russia, Russia will nuke Kiev. And then they will go after NATO. And every NATO country has figured out that that's mostly bad. And hopefully calmer heads will prevail and they will be able to talk, let's just say, the children that are running the show in DC out of it. But we'll see. The jury's still out on that one. But look, lose the fear. This whole game's about fear. It's about creating public fear, creating public hysteria so that they can manipulate you into accepting what they want you to accept. One world government controlled by elite, e.g. bankers, oligarchs, and they want to enforce a one world government and a one world religion. Does that sound familiar? That's what they want. That's the end state they're trying to get. And they're either going to do it through nuclear war, financial collapse, or some kind of an alien invasion, or all three at the same time. And I'm hoping for alien invasion, baby. Bring it. Bring the rain. Let's go. I mean, why not, right? Go all in. But that's how crazy these people are. And I've said this before. If you've read The Fourth Turning, you're going to realize that about every 80 to 100 years, some asshole wants to run the, rule the world, wants everybody to sign up to worship him. And we go through some kind of a major conflict, and then we are back at a reset again. So we're just on the cusp of the conflict before the reset. What that conflict looks like, who knows? But I guarantee you we're on the event horizon. And it's really a matter of who's going to blink first. Is it Russia? Is it the U.S.? Are they working together? I would say yes. I would say yes for a lot of reasons. You can make the case either way. And then where's China in all this? You notice we don't talk about China at all. Did you know that there's pretty much a major conflict going on in the Philippine Sea right now? You don't even hear about it. You know why? Because you're worried about Taylor Swift. You're listening to The Cackling Fool and you're hearing The Orange Man's Bad. But half the stuff going on in the world, we don't even know about. And what's interesting is that the guys were talking in the signal chat today. And what's interesting about it is that, Michael Yon said that they're actually using drones for patrolling in Singapore. I want you to let that sink in for a second. We're already in the police state in certain parts of the world and people don't even realize it. They've had drones running around China for probably 5, 6, 7 years now, probably 10. And they're widespread in China too. But now in Singapore, you got to ask yourself the question, why Singapore? And really, it's going to be everywhere. But we're seeing this transition happen right in front of us. And parts of the world that aren't armed, they can't fight back. I mean, look at the UK. The UK is completely gone. Today, there was a host of videos about a pedophile that had 40 images of kids being, you know, under 10 being raped. And when I said it's little kids, I didn't say it was teenagers. That was little kids. Confirmation. British media today. And the Brits are complaining because this guy got 6 months of a deferred sentence, or 6 months of 6 months deferred sentence is what it was, for 40 child images. They're all outraged. People are going to jail for posted memes, et cetera, on social media, and a guy like that walks away. I can tell you exactly why that is. It's very, very simple. The world is run by pedophiles. Just in this country alone, last year, 325,000 kids went missing. 325,000. On a good year, maybe 40,000 kids go missing. A lot of them end up in prostitution. Some of them end up dead for overdoses. Some of them just run away. 325,000 trafficked by our government. Where do you think those kids are going? And the Brits are outraged over 40 pictures. What do you think they're doing with these kids? I mean, 40 pictures, that's a drop in the bucket. And they're moving kids all over the planet. And yet, nobody even cares. You don't hear about it in the news. The only person talking about it is Alex Jones. He was the only person talking about child trafficking. Only person to show it on camera. So live, on camera, somebody trafficking children. No one cared. Think about that. The entire world is run by pedophiles. And not just that, sociopaths and pedophiles. That's so much better. But you have to ask where all these kids going. And if you go down the rabbit hole, the Clintons have trafficked kids from Haiti, from the DR, from Africa, from Myanmar, from pretty much all over Southeast Asia, and you don't even know about it. And yet, the Clinton Foundation's been all over the planet. And it's been, there's several facts about the fact that the Clinton Foundation has been trafficking children. And that's not even Epstein's island. And Epstein is not the only, Epstein didn't have the only island. Think about how many islands there are in the Pacific and in the Caribbean and off of South America. And then start to think of all the places in the world where you could park a bunch of kids and nobody would ever see them. And then the question you have to ask is why? Why 325,000 kids? What are they doing with 325,000 kids? That's a quarter of a million people. Little kids. I want you to ponder that, because that's a massive number. And every single one of them was moved by the federal government. Moved across the border 5,000 at a time, put on planes and flown to God knows where. All parts in the U.S. What the fuck are they doing with the kids? Nobody asks the question. I mean, they're not killing them all. But are they selling them into slavery? Are they breeding them? Are they using them for death, torture, dismemberment? I mean, all options are on the table here. And nobody asked the question. Not one person asked the question. That's who's running our planet. Think about that. So the point of me saying all of this is that there is a culmination point ahead of us. And that culmination point, once we hit it, is literally going to be a defining moment for the human race. We're going to have to decide, do we stand up and fight, or do we quietly go into the night? I can tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to die on my feet. I am not going to die on my knees. And I am going to fight. I don't care. I don't care what that costs. I will not allow my kids to live in a world controlled by pedophiles and psychopaths. I will not allow that. And it bears repeating. There's only two choices, folks. There's only two. You either fight to preserve our way of life, or you let it go and you surrender. And surrender is not in our creed. Full stop. And the other thing you should keep in mind is simply this. We are the last backstop for the planet. We're it. If we don't stand up and we don't push back, the rest of the world falls too. So you only got two choices, surrender or fight. And that's it. And that's what's ahead of you. And this, I want to address something that was posted to True Social. Somebody posted to True Social, I hope there's enough military age males, you know, military age men and women to organize and fight for us. My answer to you, lady, is you better put on your big girl pants and your big girl boots, because we're all going to be in this fight. We're going to be mounting the defense and getting organized at the same time. And a lot of good people aren't going to make it through that. You're not going to sit home and watch Netflix and talk shit and pass judgment on people. You're going to be in the fight. So you could choose to sit back and watch it happen and have it happen to you, or you could get in the fight. But I can tell you that most people are only going to fight for those who want to fight for themselves. This isn't going to be the same kind of a deal as World War II, where you send everybody off to war. This is going to happen on our soil. This is going to happen in our streets. This is going to happen in our towns. Do you either be a part of the problem or you be a part of the solution? And shit like that means you're part of the fucking problem, because you still think people are going to come and save you. Everybody is going to be in this fight, whether you like it or not. Get the memo. This nonsense about, I'm just going to sit back and let everybody else do the fighting. Sorry. That is not how this is going to go. This is going to be everywhere all at once. We don't have time for lemmings. God. And some people actually get it. You know, Kyle was sending me videos today from, I think he's in North Carolina. And literally, you're right, people are blissfully unaware. They have no clue what's around them. We're completely stopped on the freeway and people are completely clueless. And there's a tropical storm headed their way. Completely clueless. Folks, I am the way I am. I say the things I do, because I'm not going to talk around the situation. I'm not going to talk to what I think the situation should be. I'm not going to talk to how it should be. I'm talking to what's so. This is the way it is. If you want to survive this, you need to accept that this is the way it is, regardless of what you think it should be. Because most people that won't survive this will be the ones that will be sitting around complaining because it's not the way it should be. I reference deep survival all the time because there's a quintessential line in that. Those that get it, get it. And they do something about it. Simple words that mean so much. If you accept the situation you're in and that you actually start to make decisions about the situation you're in, you're probably going to survive. And you have to be calm, cool, and collect as much as you possibly can and make sound decisions in order to survive a deep survival event. Very true. Very, very true. And that's what I believe we are heading towards. Because like every operation, the law of unintended consequences hasn't shown up in true force yet. And if you've listened to the roundtables and you've listened to all of us military guys talk, we all say the same thing. Once we step off the line of departure, you throw the plan over your shoulder because everything turns to shit. And that is absolutely true. And I know that our enemy has adjusted several times because of the stuff that they're doing now. They're throwing whatever at the fence to make it stick. That tells me that they are trying to get something to work, which means a law of unintended consequences is hitting them right now. And when it really hits them, you'll see things fall apart. Because this is a loose coalition of, let's just say, psychopaths that are trying to work together to make this all work. Put a little bit of stress in that system and the whole thing falls apart. And that's what I'm waiting for. Because when that falls apart, then you're going to see society fall apart. Well, I mean, we're already on the edge of it, for Christ's sake. People walking around the streets nude. I mean, come on. When have you ever seen that before? The conversation around what the jabs have done to people is starting to grow both in size and in noise level, which means they can't obfuscate it forever and they can't beat the drum on disinformation. The truth's out. And once the truth's out, it doesn't matter how many lies you told, the truth is the truth. And eventually it will overtake the lies. And when it does, people are going to want some retribution. And I can tell you the people that are going to want retribution the most are the ones that have been vaxxed and boosted, and they got nothing to live for. And they've got nothing to lose. Imagine how that's going to go for them. They're going to have somebody go off the reservation right in front of them. And it's already starting to happen. You're starting to see people go after news faces. They're starting to get some hard questions. And people are starting to get more and more angry about it. The more gaslighting, the more lies. Guess what? The more angry people are. And it just takes one little nudge and they go off the reservation. That's the law of unintended consequences. That's going to hit them squarely in the face right at the time where they least can afford it. And waiting for that moment. Hoping for that moment. What I'm hoping for is that I get to witness it firsthand. That's what I'm really hoping for. There is some, you know, morbid curiosity of watching a train fly off the rails and ignite into a fireball and then watching everybody jump into the fireball, especially if they're a liberal shithead. That is truly enjoyable. I can't help it, but it's true. And that's what I'm waiting for. The bigger picture here is very simple. We have to organize at the local level. Every community has to organize as much as you possibly can. And it's going to take a lot of work to do that because you're going to have to put aside your differences, most of your belief system, and work for the common goal. And it may not be the common goal that you envision. You have to get that picture of how you think things should be out of your head. It's not real. It never works out the way you think it's going to in your head. And that's because the enemy gets a vote. So it's going to be very important for each community to build consensus on what resources they have, what capabilities they have, and what the end state they want to reach, which is why a year ago, I said, start envisioning the end state you want on the other side of this, because that will help your community come together and start to build that future. And you'll have something to defend. If you're trying to do this on religious grounds, I guarantee you're never going to agree. Religion is the source of conflict in every country. Look at the Muslim religion. Sunnis and Shia have been fighting for centuries. Because they can't agree on the Torah. They can't agree on the original writings. And if they can't agree, what do you think it's going to be like for Christians? It's the same problem. Religion should not be the thing that binds you together. It should be the thing that brings you together. The thing that binds you together is what you want your community to look like. And that's going to be the hardest vision for most communities to put together. Because you have people from all walks of life that are going to have a different version of what that should look like. But I'll give you a hint. It's very, very, very simple. You want a community that is a trust community that's based on law and order and based on the rule of law. That is the fundamental building blocks that this country started on. A trust community that's built on the rule of law. Not very hard. The hard part is getting people to realize what that looks like. Because we haven't taught civics, we haven't taught the Constitution, we definitely haven't taught American history, and we haven't taught world history in how many years? So there's a good portion of the population that doesn't even understand our history, let alone understand the importance of the document that we have sworn to protect. And why that document is so important. First of all, we don't talk like that anymore. We don't write like that anymore. And we definitely don't read that kind of writing anymore. And because of that, there's a whole section of the population that has no clue whatsoever what those documents even mean, let alone could they read those documents and understand the writing that's in front of them. And if you've seen the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence in the National Archives, and you go and you look at those documents, they're faded to the point where they're almost illegible. I mean, they're 200 plus years old. But all of you should have a copy of the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. Those are the documents that we are trying to fight for. Our way of life is outlined very eloquently in those documents. And if you're really an overachiever, go read the Federalist Papers. You will completely understand the mindset of the folks that wrote those documents and the men that actually put that together. And I can tell you, at the end of the day, stuff, status, notoriety, none of that matters if we don't live in a free country. We're fighting for our families, our communities, and our way of life. Don't overthink it. Keep it simple. Keep it focused on the things that matter. What matters right now is you make human connections. You build your sphere of influence and your line of sight. More people you have in your sphere of influence, the farther your line of sight is. The more situational awareness you're going to get out of that line of sight. And most importantly, most intelligence. And you have to leverage other people. Can't do it all. You could be an army of one, but you can't be in an army as one. And that's going to be hard for a lot of people to swallow their pride and accept help. Most people don't even know how to ask for it. Focus on the things that matter right now, because what's coming is coming quick and it's going to be ugly. If you haven't read it, go read Lawrence Gonzalez's book, Deep Survival. It's probably one of the best books I've ever read. And at the first part of the book, he talks about being on an aircraft carrier, and they're doing night takeoffs and landings, and he alludes to it, but he doesn't really come out and say it directly. But the level of stress when you're doing night operations on a carrier, first of all, it's incredibly hard. Second of all, it's a very small deck, and you're in a very big airplane moving very, very quickly. A lot of things can go wrong in a very short period of time. Which is why those guys get so much credit, is that's a very hard activity to do. But he talks about why that's a deep survival situation and why the calmest heads in the room are always the best. And it's worth the read, especially when he talks about some of the other situations that people are in, because he goes through a number of situations and explains how people survive and why people don't survive. It's worth reading because you'll be able to pick out those signs in people around you. Because the other part of this equation that's going to be hard for people to accept is that you're going to have to make decisions about who stays and who goes, who's a liability and who adds value, especially when you're talking about feeding a number of people with limited resources. Because the famine part of it's on the way. Michael Yon's talked about it. A lot of other people have talked about it. Alex Jones has talked about it. And look, I'm not an Alex Jones fan. I hate the way the guy talks. He drives me nuts. But he's been right about a lot of different things. And one of the things that he's talking about now is famine's on the way. I agree. I've been saying that for a while. They've been going after the food supply for almost 4 years now. And the fact that, and I think it was Tree Girl that was telling me about this last week, that there's nanotech in almost every food that's out, especially processed foods, all kinds of nanotech. So there's no guarantee even if you're eating fresh fruit. And then last week, they came out with the whole, there's human DNA in processed food and in some fresh foods, specifically in supposedly in meat. Cards are stacked against us, folks. They've been going after the food supply. And I believe that there is definitively human DNA in a lot of different foods. And most importantly, the thing to remember is, true or not, you should operate under the premise that most of the stuff that's processed has some kind of a poison in it. I mean, just look at heavy cream. They put glyphosate in heavy cream. Do you know what that does to your system? I can tell you what it does when you get it out of your system and how long it takes. Because I used to use heavy cream in all of my coffee almost for 20 years. And I have been weaned myself off of it over the last 3 years. And I can tell you, it took 3 years to finally start feeling better. It affects you in a lot of different ways. The additives in foods affect us in a lot of ways. And I can tell you, probably a lot of the mental disorders, probably a lot of the chemical imbalances, a lot of the depression, and a lot of the other issues we deal, health issues we deal with, all from our food supply. So not only are we going to have to mount a defense, are we going to have to come together as a society, but we're going to have to figure out how to feed ourselves with food that isn't tainted with poison all at the same time. And you honestly think that's something I could talk around? Or should I talk to it? That's why I say the things I do. That's why I'm unapologetically raw. We got here because of political correctness. We got here because of passive aggressive rhetoric and stupidity. When we get out of this, I guarantee you this culture is going to be hard as nails, and we're not going to put up with any amount of BS. Least of all from a bunch of bankers. But if you hear me say anything, hear this. Lose the fear. Good, bad, or indifferent, we're all going to be in this fight. Whether it's today, tomorrow, or a week from now, we're all going to be in this fight. Burn that into your memory. This fight is not going to go and be done quickly. This is going to be a decade-long fight. And once we start, we take it all the way to the end. We hold everybody that was affiliated with this accountable. And we hold them to account. Every single one of them. And this time we stamp out slavery and child trafficking and human trafficking for good. Even if it takes 20 years. For good. And then we start treating children like the most sacred thing on this planet, because they are our future. I can tell you that this is going to be a long, long fight. Don't take anything for granted, especially now. And if you're going to go out in the public, you should be armed and you should be aware. Get your head out of your phone and pay attention to what's around you. Now more than ever. And I'm telling you, we're not going to make it to the election. And if we do, something's going to happen on election day. They cannot afford to let this go all the way to the wire. Burn that into your soul. And be ready for anything. And lose the fucking fear. God. Nothing to be scared of. There's more of us than them. And we're better armed. I'll be back Wednesday, the round table, the real round table, and Thursday with the real round table, not the Rumble anointed round table / situation report / whatever the hell they decide to call it. And most importantly, the crew will be mixed up and different. I'm sure we may not have Matt Everett, because I think he's in the middle of those storms, so we'll see. But it should be a pretty good crew this week. And most importantly, we're going to talk about what's going on. So if you have questions, comments, feedback, post them in the comments section, not the chat, in the comments section, and we will address them during the roundtable. If you're on Telegram, you can post it in the channel. One of my admins will pick it up. If you're on X, it's at LTC_StephenMUR. I think it was _MUR. You can send me post questions there, and I'll pick them up before the roundtable. Now's the time to be prepared. Now's the time to do stuff. And what you really need to be doing is making human connections. Focus on using your stuff. We say that for a reason. We'll see you on Wednesday. God bless everyone. One team, one fight.